Dr. Jack McLam program, and we have a dear friend, and I tell you, the bottom of my heart, many of us here at the two police and military associations look at Eustace Mullins as an American hero, without any doubt. By the way, he's a veteran of the United States Air Force after 38 months of active service during World War II. He's a native Virginian, awful close to where I was born. I was born in Washington, D.C., but he was educated and educated and educated, and I don't want to go over all the universities and all the schools that he's been to because there's too many. I mean, the man is a very educated man, and if you've read any of his books, like The Masterful, on the book on the Federal Reserve System, and many others, you know what I'm talking about. He's a researcher extraordinaire. He does his research, he gets it right, and he tells you where to go to back up what he says. And so with that said, I just want to bring on our dear brother who has just surprised me again today. I shouldn't be surprised with this man with the research and things he puts out, but yesterday he penned The Secret of Iraq, and I want to bring him on now. Brother Eustace, how are you tonight?
Well, I'm so glad to be on the show again, Zach.
Good. Well, I'm happy you're glad to be here because we're just thrilled to have you, brother. I want to talk to you about Iraq just a little bit, but I want before we get into that, I've got a troubling letter to write. We have a lot, as you know, Eustace, serving in the military. We've got a lot of good American Jews in the Air Force, in the Army, in the Navy, and you name it, Marines, who we served with in the military, and I served with a lot of good American Jews in law enforcement. And I know a lot of them. I mean, I know a lot of them because we've had this several police and military associations for literally years after I left the military and left law enforcement. But I had a dear brother of mine who was just a friend of mine for years and years, a great police officer in the New York, New Jersey area, write me a stinging letter. He's a Jewish police officer, been one for something like 30 years, just an extraordinary great American. But he got mad at us here after many, many years of supporting us and sending me good material, like he sent us the book by Arthur Kessler, The 13th Tribe, and he's tried to educate us on what's going on with the Zionists and so forth. But he wrote me a letter here several months ago castigating me for being anti-Semitic because of the last Ain't a Bet Police newsletter we put out and talking about what's going on in Israel and what's going on with the neocons and how powerful they are in the government and so forth. And I want to ask you, brother, how can we today, is there any way possible today with the importance that the Israeli crime leaders, criminal leaders of Israel, linked up with the crime leaders of America and the criminal leaders in the UK, how can we not talk about what's going on in Israel, brother? You know, it's as if someone were to say to me, Jack, I'm an American, don't talk about what America's part is in this world government setup coming along. Is there a way we can exclude Israel and their criminal leadership from our discussions on the war?
No, we can't exclude them at all because we've got to talk about it.
Well, that's what I say, and I've got to write a letter to this brother now that I'm home from Indiana, and it troubles me, but I just don't know how we can eliminate Israel and their criminal leadership there from our discussions as police officers and soldiers as to what's happening in the world today, or even private citizens discussing what's going on in the world today, Eustace. So I'm glad you said that, because I don't know how to eliminate their criminal activity linked up with our criminal leaders and the British criminal leaders today. But that takes us right into the subject matter that you wrote about yesterday, The Secrets of Iraq. Eustace, tell us about Iraq. What's going on? Why are we there?
Well, it's not what's going on in Iraq. It's what has gone on. historians say that there has been settlements in the Baghdad, Iraq area for the last 26,000 years. And it's known as the cradle of civilization. And now, if you pick up any history book, it'll tell you that civilization began at the juncture of the Tigris and the Euphrates rivers in Iraq, which is where our troops are stationed right now.
Yes, sir.
So why are we there at the cradle of civilization? If that's the cradle of civilization, why aren't we developing it instead of smashing it up? Now, the people in Iraq today, since our troops are out there, they no longer have waste disposal or sewage. They don't have telephone service. They don't have water. And Baghdad has been devastated. So civilization is not doing too well right now.
Yeah, we're not hearing about that, though. We're always hearing about how wonderful it is that we're over there rebuilding the place for them that we destroyed.
Well, George Bush is telling us that we're there to bring democracy to the entire world.
Yeah.
And I think that if we're going to bring democracy to Iraq, we ought to give it a try here first.
Yes, in the United States. Right.
Well, you know, George Bush had me put away in a series of nursing homes for 4 months while he delayed the Iraq War because I was writing such trenchant articles that were appearing all over the country and papers like Spectrum, which were then closed down. And I was placed in a series of nursing homes, and the war in Iraq was supposed to start in October of 2002. Well, they delayed it until March 2003 simply because they hadn't disposed of it yet.
Yeah.
They finally got me in a series of nursing homes, and then they went in and attacked Iraq.
Well, isn't that funny how they did the same thing to Ezra Pound?
Well, I was following in his footsteps.
Yeah, and now they figured that you were there, and you actually were the ones, due to your efforts, you helped rescue Ezra Pound out of his 15-year, wasn't it, or something?
13 and a half years.
13 and a half years.
He was never convicted of anything. He was held without trial for 13 and a half years until I interested a congressman in his behalf in 1958, and he went on the floor of Congress and he asked, why is the government holding this man?
Uh-huh.
And the government had no answer, so they just dropped all charges after 13 and a half years.
My goodness, that was a federal institution right here in the U.S.
That was the Federal St. Elizabeth Hospital in Washington, D.C.
And then they tried to do that to you and held you for 4 months, brother. I remember when you were in there. And
well, I had to get a series of lawyers to get me out.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Because they were not going to release me.
Yeah, why are you so dangerous, brother? And I'm asking that because I already know, but the listeners may not know why you're so dangerous.
Well, J. Edgar Hoover, the director of the FBI,
uh-huh,
announced to the world in 1964 that I was the most dangerous man in America. And
what were you doing to make you so dangerous?
Well, I wrote the history of the Federal Reserve System.
That'll do it.
And the Federal Reserve System is 100% behind this war in Iraq. There would be no war in Iraq if it wasn't for the Federal Reserve System. And I'm sitting here talking to you right now, 2 blocks from the birthplace of Woodrow Wilson, who signed the Federal Reserve Act into law on December the 23rd, 1913.
Uh-huh.
And we've been at war ever since.
Yes, well, then once again, for the new listeners out there, tell us what the Federal Reserve System is. They say, well, that's a part of the U.S. government. What's this guy talking about?
Well, it's a privately owned bank, and the government has never had one share of stock in the Federal Reserve System and cannot buy. They could buy a share of stock, and you could buy a share of stock, because as a monopoly set up by John D. Rockefeller, its shares are never publicly traded or sold. So if you think you're going to buy some Federal Reserve stock and get rich, I have to disillusion you.
That's right.
I've got a sense.
That's right. It's not federal, and there aren't any reserves, is
no.
it?
And it's not a system. It's a criminal syndicate.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go back to Iraq, brother. Talk to us about Iraq. What do you want us to know about that situation?
Well, Iraq was set up at the Versailles Peace Conference in Paris in 1919, and it was a dissolution of the old Ottoman Turkish Empire, which had ruled for 1,000 years. So the Zionists were present in great numbers at the Paris Peace Conference, and they dismantled the Ottoman Empire and set up a series of small Arab nations, which were influenced mostly by Britain and the Zionists themselves.
Tell us now, you brought up that word, the Z word. A lot of people think when you say Zionist that you're knocking the Jews that are good Jews here in America and all over. Tell us what the Zionists are.
Oh, the Zionists are a criminal conspiracy which right now they have the United States embroiled in the Third World War, in which a billion Christians and a billion Muslims are going to fight to the death. And at the end of that war, World War III, which we're in now, Israel will emerge as master of the entire world.
Uh-huh. And
so
we're
not
talking about, yeah, we're not talking about the Jews are going to emerge. We're talking about these atheist Zionists that brought that came over from Eastern Europe that are going to hopefully rule the world. Is that what we're talking about, Houston?
Well, they plan to do just that, and they're working at it.
Yeah. Okay, well, I hear the music coming up, brother. We'll be back just after this short break with more from Eustace Mullins, folks. Yes, we have to understand the Middle East. We can't leave some of the players out. We've got these international crime families controlling all those nations involved over there. We'll be back with Eustace Mullins to talk more about the secret of Iraq. Stay tuned. Report here, the secret of Iraq. Now, Iowa farm youth boys are dying in unarmored pleasure vehicles manufactured by General Motors, the infamous Hummers. They're dying in Babylon. Go ahead and pick up where you left off, useless about the secrets of Iraq and Babylon there.
Well, Babylon is center of corruption of the ancient world, and it's called Baghdad now, but that is ancient Babylon, and that was the home of Nimrod, who was the first criminal to try to rule the entire world.
Interesting. Very interesting.
So you see, Saddam Hussein didn't appear in a vacuum. He was in a long line of autocratic rulers from that area.
Yes, and now we have a bunch of leaders over there that have captured Babylon that are trying to rule the world.
They certainly are. This is World War III.
Yeah. Go right ahead, Houston.
Oh, well, the ancient Baghdad, of course, was the center of the ancient world, and it ruled most of that area. Well, we now call it the Middle East, but in those days it was called Persia and Assyria, and there are other civilizations there also.
Uh-huh.
But I have a book called Curse of Canaan, which is out of print right now, which details the history of that region very fully. It talks about Nimrod and the horror of Babylon. See, Babylon was so corrupt that it's known throughout history as the horror of Babylon because there was so much prostitution and so much degeneracy and crime there.
Yeah.
And actually, Babylon was poisoning the ancient world because its corruption was spreading out through all of the ancient countries of the Middle East and Asia. So finally it got so corrupt that the Turkish Empire conquered that whole area and set it up as the Ottoman Empire, which ruled for 1,000 years. But at the end of the First World War, the Ottoman Empire was broken up at the Paris Peace Conference of 1919, and the countries of the Ottoman Empire were broken up into small countries like Iraq, Kuwait, and Saudi Arabia. And all of these countries, actually, were under the influence of the British Crown. They were part of the British Empire.
Yes. Well, bringing it down to today, brother, what are the reasons that these international crime families of Britain, Israel, and America wanted to take over that part of the world? What are the reasons that you can list for us as to why we're really there?
Well, they actually controlled that part of the world. What they were doing was setting up a permanent monopoly of the oil of the entire world. And John D. Rockefeller set up the oil monopoly in the 1890s, the richest corporation in the world, Standard Oil of New Jersey. And with his profits from the oil monopoly, he set up a lot of universities and foundations. And one foundation which he endowed entirely was called University of Chicago in Chicago, Illinois. And John D. Rockefeller put up all the money for that entire university, $40 million, which at the time was like $4 billion today.
Right, yeah.
And he made this University of Chicago into a school for scoundrels because all the people who were behind the Iraq involvement came right out of the University of Chicago, and it was one professor, a professor of intrigue, named Leo Strauss, and this is generally called the Straussian Conspiracy. John D. Rockefeller imported Leo Strauss from Europe, and he set up a philosophy department, and he set up the what is now known as the neoconservatives, the neocons.
The neocons,
They were all created by Leo Strauss, and everyone who helped bring about the Iraqi war, Paul Wolfowitz and Irving Kristol, and Richard Armitage, all of these were pupils of Leo Strauss at the University of Rockefeller, Chicago.
Well, I didn't know that.
Well, no, they haven't exactly advertised it at all.
Yeah.
But, in fact, it took me years before I found out about Leo Strauss. See, he was never publicized very much, but Strauss was a professor of intrigue, and his entire course... he taught young people the principles of conspiracy.
Very interesting.
The neocons came directly out of his classrooms and are now working to take over the entire world.
Well, that's one I hadn't heard, Eustace. But then again, you always surprise me. Every time we have you on or I read something you've written, I learn.
Well, I've been a digger all my life, frankly.
Yeah.
And this is all digging. You keep digging it down until you strike gold.
You strike gold, yeah. I'm looking here at an article that came out April 4th, 2003. And I just came across it by Youssef Ebrahim. And he's a former Mideast and energy editor of the New York Times and Wall Street Journal. And is now a group editor with Energy Intelligence Publications. And in April 4th, 2003, he said that this war may not be about oil in the first place, but to argue that the United States is committing some 300,000 armed men and women in a single area of the world, setting atop two-thirds of global oil reserves without having oil on its mind, is a bit of a stretch. And, of course, they did have oil on their mind. Because I guess old Henry Kissinger, I think he was called the Boer, his secret Soviet name.
Oh, yeah, Boer, B-O-R.
Yeah, B-O-R. To control nations, you have to control oil. And by the way, brother, I think he could have rightfully said to control people, you can control oil too, because we're all suffering as these international crime lords get control of the oil and start raising the prices up to where we, as they've written even in books, that we have to be on bicycles in the United States to merge us with other third world nations. So what about this oil, and what about Israel? I've heard that Israel's getting a pipeline. When we come back after the break, brother, tell us about the importance of oil and how Israel fits into that. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Okay, folks, we're back on the Officer Jack McLam program, and out of the Israeli daily newspaper, Haaretz, it's reported that Israel is... restarting a strategically important oil pipeline that once transferred oil from the Iraqi city of Mosul to Israel's northern port of Haifa. Aha! What's going on, Eustace? I thought the oil was going to help the American people and bring our prices down.
Well, our prices are going up, and it's not going to help us at all. No, we're paying the highest prices in history. If you've been down there at gas stations lately, you'll notice that.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got a report in here that there's a pipeline being put in to Israel for the oil. And
Israel's
going to have almost free oil over there. You know?
It will be practically free, but we're going to keep on paying the highest prices in history.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, the as you peel back the onion, pieces of onion, the skin of the onion, brother, it gets more and more interesting the more you peel, isn't it?
Well, that's so, and it's no accident that the state of Israel was located at the crossroads of the ancient world. Now, throughout history, if you wanted to go east or west, you had to go through that particular area, which Israel claimed, and they had an interesting contract for it. They said God had signed a contract with them years ago on it, and only nobody could ever find it. And so we have to more or less accept that on faith.
Yeah. Well, what do you think? Are these international bandits that run the Israeli government, the Zionist atheist over there, that are we've found out is actually Gentiles from the Turkish Mongol tribes over in the Eastern Europe that came in there?
Are these
God's chosen people over there, brother? A lot of Christians are listening today, and their ministers are telling them, don't say a word against Israel because God will send a lightning bolt and smoke you out of your tennis shoes.
Well, that's our evangelical Christians. They are really propagandists for the state of Israel.
Well, what's the truth in it? What's the truth in it? Are these the God's chosen people over there now?
Not at all. In fact, when we attacked here Iraq, we destroyed many early Christian churches and many early Christian artifacts. You know, that really is the birthplace of Iraq, is the birthplace of Christianity, or early Christians. Most of the early Christian churches were actually built in Iraq.
And there was a lot of Christians there at the time we bombed them with all this depleted uranium. A lot of Christians were over there, were there not?
They certainly were, and have suffered the effects from it ever since.
Yes. Well, yes, it's very interesting how Lucifer is very cunning and very good at deception, because 99.9% of us Christians out here think that that's God's chosen people there, and this is the time that God expected them to take back the land. And my goodness gracious, is that such a deception? And it's really quite a story. And
it's deception all the way. And you know, Christ, one of Christ's constant preachments to his people was, "Be ye not deceived," because deception is the great enemy and the great weapon of Satan.
It certainly is, the great deceiver.
Yes, the great deceiver.
If there was any way to wake up our fellow Christians to the fact that we should not be supporting these wars that Christians keep telling me, well, we're turning the land over to Israel, and God promised Israel, the Jews, all that land, so we're doing what God wants us to do. Well, that is not true, is it, brother?
No, it's not. When George Bush, as president, authorized the Iraq War, he stated publicly, our mission is to defend Israel. And that was in October of 2002 when he was delaying the attack on Iraq. And the fact is that if we had a mission to defend Israel, I don't think George Washington or John Adams or Robert E. Lee ever heard about that.
No, because they told us that we were supposed to disengage from these type of wars for these international crime lords.
Well, that was George Washington's farewell address. He told us. He said, do not get involved in these intrigues and conspiracies and machinations of the people of old Europe. And that's exactly what he warned us against.
That's exactly what we're doing. Well, it's a tangled web we weave when we first begin to be deceived, that's for sure.
Yeah, but because Americans certainly don't deceive anybody. You know, Americans accept people on faith, and unfortunately, they'll believe anything without any supporting evidence whatsoever.
You know, brother, we here have a great love for all of our brothers and sisters, fellow Americans here, and I don't care what race or religion you are. You're an American. You're part of our family. And I feel bad because we have some good Jewish brothers and sisters in the military and law enforcement with us that know, as we know here, that these international crime lords in Washington, D.C., and Britain, and Israel that run these countries are setting the Jewish people up there, the unwitting Jewish people, up to be murdered over there because they're trying to provoke World War III. I mean, the big one with all the bombs and every nation in the world involved. You go and have the the Arabs to bomb Israel and kill millions over there, and it looks like they may be successful because they keep sticking their thumb in the eye of the Israelis, or not the Israelis, but the Arabs, and taking their land and taking their natural resources and killing their people and poisoning their land for billions of years with depleted uranium. And I can see, brother, where sooner or later the Arabs, the Muslims, are going to have a belly full of this and could very well come against the Israeli Jews over there. And, of course, the crime lords will be out of the country when that happens. We're going to lose millions over there and millions in our country, too.
Well, this goes right back to what I said early in the program, that Israel deliberately chose as its headquarters the crossroads of the entire world there in the Middle East and what was then the land of Palestine, which lived in by the Palestinian people for 1,000 years, but it was not the land of the Jewish people whatsoever, because the Jews never had a land of their own. In fact, the Jewish people then were known throughout ancient history as the Habiru, H-A-B-I-R-U, which became Hebrew later on.
Hebrew, uh-huh.
And Habiru meant, in the ancient world, liars and thieves.
Okay.
And everyone was afraid of, because these were the bandits of the desert. They raided every country, and that's what Israel is doing today, is raiding every country and placing every country in the world in danger.
Yes. Oh, we've got a Donnybrook coming up, Eustace. I mean, we've got a big one because the American people don't know what's going on.
And they're in the middle of it, too.
We're in the middle of it, yes. We're going to get bombed.
Cindy Sheehan is down in Texas trying to get George Bush to tell her why her son died in Iraq, and of course he won't talk to her.
Yeah, that's right. He certainly, if he talks to her, he wouldn't tell her the truth.
Well,
he's saying it's for democracy, to bring democracy to all those wonderful Arabs that he loves so well.
Well, none of them ever had democracy, and they never will have democracy.
No, no.
The Secret of Iraq is on my website, EustaceMullins.com.
Yeah.
And so if Cindy Sheehan can get a copy of it, she could take it right to Bush and explain to him what's going on, because he obviously doesn't know.
That's right. Oh, sure. He doesn't know.
Well, I don't think he knows.
He's just an unwitting pawn of the internationalist. Maybe he's too stupid to know, and maybe it is true the vice president is really the president.
Oh, yeah. Cheney knows everything that goes on.
Yeah, Cheney, do you think he's really the president?
Well, he's the president of Halliburton, which is bigger than the United States government.
It certainly is today. We've been giving it so much money. My goodness gracious.
Well, they say $7 billion has disappeared without a trace in Iraq, and no one has an idea who got it or how.
$7 billion.
$7 billion. They can't find a penny of it.
If you're talking about insane, how does $7 billion disappear and nobody knows where it went?
Well, you know, when you go down to the grocery store to buy a pound of butter, you don't lose $7 billion. It has to be somewhere.
It has to be somewhere. Let's look in the other pocket, you know, for that $7 billion. Got to be there someplace.
It's in somebody's pocket, I can assure you.
That's right. Well, sadly, Cindy Sheehan is doing a wonderful job at trying to expose these things, but We know, brother, that nobody's leaving. Americans are not leaving. The British aren't leaving. The Israelis certainly aren't backing off to take over the whole Middle East and establish permanent bases there. How many permanent bases have you heard the U.S. government's putting in there?
Oh, it's beyond calculation.
Yeah, there's just dozens and dozens and dozens of permanent bases going in because, as you say, this is to control that part of the world, and it reeks of the Bible, brother, as to when the Antichrist is going to go set in as if he was God. What do you think about that?
Well, this is Armageddon, if it ever existed. It's right here now.
Yeah, it's coming. And we're expecting a big nuclear attack or biological attack on America any time.
Well, that's the next step.
Yeah, that's the next step, to force us into allowing them to go into Iran and Iraq, and Syria next. And I think we're real close, brother. What do you hear about it?
Oh, well, everybody's expecting it. I hear it everywhere. They're wondering when they're going to do it. And they're going to do it at some unique moment when it'll have the greatest effect on the people.
Uh-huh.
Like 9/11.
You think it's soon?
I think it's very soon. I think it's overdue.
Yeah.
Because they cannot continue to carry on their plans without doing that.
Yes. Well, I tell you, that just makes me weep inside to think of the thousands upon thousands, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of Americans are going to die in this one. But anyway, it will do exactly what the internationalists want to have done.
That's part of the program.
Yeah, we will demand martial law, and the American people will demand every Arab will be killed after what they allegedly did to America. Yeah. Sad days ahead, brother, but we've got to get through it somehow, and we've got to continue to awaken more and more people as to what these international criminals are trying to do to us.
Well, as I said on a radio program just a couple of nights ago, I told the host, I said, you can have a homeland and you can have security, but you cannot have both.
Yeah.
Right now we're losing our homeland and we've got a very dubious security in this country.
We do, yeah. How do we get a hold of you again, Eustace?
Well, my website is EustaceMullins.com.
Spell your name for us, would you?
EUSTACE, Eustace Mullins, MULLINS.
Okay, because some people misspell your name.
Eustace is a very old name, and Eustace is from the ancient Aramaic language which Jesus spoke.
Uh-huh.
And in ancient Aramaic, it means equal justice for all people. And the name Eustace means justice, but it has a more definite meaning, equal justice for all people.
Isn't that interesting?
And that's what my name stands for. It's a pretty good name.
Well, you've used it very well over the years, and the Lord has used you to help all of us out here learn, brother. And I want to thank you.
He's worked me a lot harder than I wanted to work, but it had to be done.
Are you getting some of those books reprinted that we missed so much?
No, I still have lawyers working on that. I was supposed to talk to a lawyer tonight, and people have got me stabbing on getting those books. They want those books so bad.
Yeah.
The Curse of Canaan, which tells you in one book the whole history of the Middle East.
I want a copy of that too, brother. I want a copy, so we've got to get them reprinted. So.
Oh, we certainly have. I've been working on it for months, and the devil is still thwarting me at every turn.
Okay. Well, we truly love you, Eustace, and thank you for all you've done for our country to awaken our people, and not just in the USA, but around the world.
I've got a lot more to do, unfortunately.
That's right. You do have a lot more to do, and we're counting on you. You got a heavy responsibility.
Well, it is quite a responsibility.
That's right.
Well, that's the reason that I went to the insane asylum and got my education in 1948 from Ezra Pound.
Yes, you had to go in there to see him.
Yes.
How many years did you spend going in there to see him?
I spent 3 years going there every day, and he would give me a three-hour lecture about the history of the world.
Wow, my goodness.
And I got an education which you cannot equal anywhere in the world.
Very,
and then he edited
true.
My books. As I began to write my books, he actually edited my books for me.
Yes.
And four of his protégés got the Nobel Prize for Literature. And I'm his last living protégé today. I'm the last one left.
Yeah.
Of Ezra Pound.
I don't think you're going to get the Nobel Prize, brother. They hate you too bad.
Well, I'm afraid that if I get it, I'll have to award it to myself.
Yes, that's right. If you're going to get it, you're going to have to award it to yourself. That's right, because they're not going to give it to you. These internationalists certainly don't like you, brother, and we're going to ask all the listeners out there to pray for you, that God continues to use you in a great way and keeps you around. We need you, okay?
All right. Well, I'm going to stick around as long as I can.
Okay, brother. Well, God bless you, and thank you for being on with us tonight. And keep sending us the emails as you come up with things, and we'll keep having you on, okay, brother?
Well, that'll be fine.
All right. Lord bless you real good. You take care.
Thank you.
All right, folks. Well, my goodness gracious, folks. It is, I don't know. Oh, I know what it is. My clock's wrong. There it is. It's 4:50 right now. My clock's wrong. We could have kept him on a few more minutes. Well, my goodness. Well, I want to share with you folks where you can go to read some of these very important articles that are coming into us here at our two police and military associations that we're just talking about tonight. And you can go to this website and pull up this pipeline from Iraq to Israel, written 2003 by a man, Hoopman Sentimente. Okay, and I want to give you these websites so you can look up these very important articles about this pipeline going from Israel or to from Iraq to Israel. You think you're going to get good cheap oil? Forget it, folks. Our oil prices are going to keep going up and up and up as these international criminals take over Middle East oil and close down, make sure we can't dig any up in America. We'll be right back. I want to give out some websites and information to you here. We are blessed to have all this good information coming into our two police and military associations there. But if we don't give it out to you, we're not serving you well. And our whole and serve you as best we can. So here's some websites for you. Go in and pick up this pipeline from Iraq to Israel. It's an old article, but we just came across it today. Very, very good, informative article, though, that all of us should have. It was April 5th, 2003, that it came out, and evidently it was well suppressed, okay? All right, here is where you go for this. Go to www.atimes, and it's like, well, just like it sounds, the letter A and the word times, one word, okay? It's www.atimes.com/atimes again, same thing, A, the word times, one word, slash, middle. We're going to give you Middle East now, but it's a little different. Put down middle, M-I-D-D-L-E. And then an underline. It's not, it's just a space, but it's an underline. Okay, middle, underline, east, / capital E, capital D, 04, capital A, small k, 01.html. Now that's a long one, but this is such an important article, and I'll give it to you again: www.atimes.com/atimes/middle, a space with an underline, east, / capital ED04, capital A, small k, 01.html. Now that'll bring you to this very important article pipeline from Iraq to Israel. And the name of the man that put it together, his last name is P as in Paul, E-I-M-A-N-I. It's capital P, E-I-M-A-N-I. And his first name is Hooman, and it's H-O-O-M-A-N, H-O-O-M-A-N. Now, with that, if you messed up on this website and you didn't get it right, put that in the search engine. Put his name, Hooman, P-E-I-M-A-N-I, and put a comma, and then put pipeline from Iraq to Israel, and I'll bet you it'll come up on the web. But anyway, very important article as to why we're over there, and we've got to dig in and find out, because nobody's going to tell us. We've got to find out for ourselves what's going on and who's all the players over there. Well, I hear the music. That's it for tonight, folks. Lord bless you real good, and I hope you have a great evening. And don't forget, this old cop truly does love you, America. I truly do. Good night.